Welcome to Into the West, the Middle-earth SVG podcast. My name is Charles. With me today are Richard, Ian, and a special guest, Jacob from Conquest Creations.
Hi, guys.
So Jacob is joining us today for our second bracket video, and this time we will be trying to determine the best good hero or the top good hero of ME-SVG. Our last bracket episode, many viewers requested us to kind of go over how we decided on our picks. So we wanted to go over that a little bit this time and make it more interactive. And what we did was we asked the community to help us decide four of the 16 top heroes that we're going to talk about. And we're going to go over the four that the community chose. And then we're each going to go over the three heroes that we each picked.
All the profiles that were mentioned on our posts, I've highlighted in yellow the top picks, so the top four. And so those ones are the ones that will be competing in the tournament. Helm Hammerhand, Imrahil, Bjorn, and Elendil. What do you guys think of these picks in general from the community?
I think they all check out pretty well. Nothing too surprising in there. I think the only thing, and we've talked about this before, I've talked about this with a lot of guys, is Bjorn versus Grimbjorn, who's better? Community chose Bjorn. And look, there's an argument for that. I don't think there's a correct answer between Bjorn and Grimbjorn, but we got Bjorn today, and that works for me.
Yeah, so just to note that Grimbjorn is close behind with one less vote. So I think the general consensus is they are probably about the same.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised Helm is in there. I don't know how I feel about that. He's still like only fight five. That feels a little weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's really like powered up in the Legendary Legion. But from my experience, he's only really dominant at low points. And if we're looking at the scope of best hero, I think, of course, like, you know, we can say in a certain setting how good a hero is. But I think a true test of the best hero, it has to be good in multiple situations and be flexible.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on that one. He's fantastic at low points.
And I'm just going to go over some surprising and slightly disappointing picks. So first one, ranked with three votes, we have Aragorn Elessar. I know he's a really, really strong beat stick, but I think out of competitive players that I've talked to, it's just not really like a top pick because he's just so easily shut down. And for his points cost, it can be really brutal in some matchups.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. With only the three will and no extra magic stuff, just a minor cast, it can really mess him around.
The points value is just, it's so high. Like, it's so hard to get that return. And then if he's harder to combo with like a second or even a third bigger hitter just because of his points cost taking up so much of your list already. So it's not like you can do the thing where you like diffuse it by having multiple big guys running around hitting things.
All right, so I'm just going to run through the rest of these picks and you guys can let me know if you guys have any thoughts on them. Personally, Gandalf the White, I think, again, nice array of spells, but generally overcosted. Ingold, I think there's just a lot of better options in Minas Tirith and the fight four. This one might be controversial. Next couple, I'm a bit disappointed, I guess. You know, we asked for the best good hero. So we have Bolg, Azog, Dragon Emperor. I mean, Dragon Emperor is pretty damn good, though.
But, like, he's a man. He could be morally ambiguous, you know? It's not like an orc or an Urukai, yeah.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah. We have the Witch King, Pippin, who might be trolling us because, you know, spoilers, he won our worst heroes bracket. Shagrat, Mahud King, and Gulivar. So, you know, picks anything that stands out.
Is Gandalf the Grey anywhere on there? In any form?
He is not.
That is surprising. That is quite surprising. Because, like, I feel like Gandalf the Grey is better than Gandalf the White. I mean, and it has to do with the fact that he is just like way cheaper. Makes a big difference. But also Hobbit era armies, he can lead a bunch of Lake Town militia. So it's not a bad way to get a magic caster in there and then still have reasonable numbers. Whereas Gandalf the White is just so expensive.
My favorite on this whole entire list is definitely Fatty Bulger.
Not since they doubled his points cost. I don't think so. Not anymore.
True.
Used to be OP.
Yeah. But he can lead troops now, I think.
Yeah, he's a minor hero.
Oh, there damn. We go.
Fatty got a buff.
Yeah.
He was too good for this list. We wanted to keep the field competitive. So
it just goes without saying that he's the best. Yeah, for sure.
Before we get started, shout out to our Patreons. Thank you for supporting us. If you guys haven't checked out our extra perks, you can see the description below. All right, so should we go into our picks?
Richard, do you want to kick us off with your three picks?
So my picks were 8, 9, and 10. My first pick was Boromir of Gondor. And I think this is to no surprise. 6 might battery, easily allied to many competitive lists. And all the best heroics, heroic march, heroic defense, and heroic strike. And yeah, of course, like he has his weaknesses with, being vulnerable, low will, and no fate. But I find that the heroic defense makes up for it. And also, he's very cheap. So I guess a lot of the times, if he does end up dying, he could do some damage before he goes out. So I think it's pretty evident to most people why he's on this list. Okay, and then I have Braga. And this might be a surprising pick because he's probably not in the discussion a lot because he's not really like a huge beat stick. But we kind of talked about him in the Lake Town episode. He's just really, really solid. Really good heroics with March and Defense. 3 might, 50 points. So he's up there with all the best like Mordor heroes already. And then he has that special rule, which gets him might back. To me, he's just pretty insane value. Like captain tier level, to me, like he's probably the best. And for my last pick, Gwaihir. Yeah, I talked about this in the Monsters episode. He's just really good. I think like hero monsters in general, fly models are very good with the fight 8. I know he has a bit lower strength if you ally him, but I do think that's probably the best way to play him. Like great objective grabber to me compared to other like hero monsters around that price or just monsters in general. I think he's a great deal. Like Mordor Chief like is about the same price, but you know, the maneuverability you get from Gwaihir is just unmatched.
All right, Jacob, would you like to go over your picks?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've gone with one of my three picks. I think is going to be pretty obvious. I'll start with that one. First one is the King's Champion from the Khazad Dûm list. This guy's 140 points, and he comes with 2 banner bearers that each have 2 might points. He himself is 5/6, 3 attacks, strength 5. And then if all 3 of them are in base contact, he can spend the banner bearer's fate points. So he can go up to 5 fate effectively and get to the defense 9. So pretty mental value that you get out of that for 140 points, like 2 banners alone, that's the 25 points each. But then a banner, you know, on a guy who has 2 fate, like that's, you're probably looking at like, I don't know, you'd point that at like maybe 40 points. So 2 of them, and then you get this amazing hero on top. It's just so points effective to take King's Champion. Whenever you do these kind of top 5 lists, he might not turn up, but top 10 lists, it's always like, where do you put the King's Champion? Not is he there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a reason you see pretty much every pure list has him in it.
Yeah, and he really brings up an army that has some other deficiencies. So like the dwarves need a hero like this that has that insane value in their lists. I'll go into my next pick, which is Rumil. So Rumil is a character that I've had the misfortune of playing against several times recently. He's just a regular elf captain profile to start out with. So good all around there. But the reason that he's on this list is because his special rule that allows him to make his enemy re-roll a dice. So in the fight, let's say Rumil's fighting my Balrog. I get a 6. Rumil says, hey, re-roll that 6. His odds of winning the fight are astronomically higher than any other 2-attack hero. I'll jump into my next one, which is, and I think this one is probably a surprise. I know it's a surprise to some of you guys, and that's Biffa, Champion of Erebor. He's not one that I see talked about much, but he comes in at 65 points. When he goes to strike a model, rather than using 2 attacks, he can use 1 attack. And if he successfully wounds that model, the axe is ripped out of his head, and he can call a heroic move every single turn for free. So it's always about how can you set him up so that axe comes out of his head, and then a heroic move every turn for free is so powerful, especially from a 65-point model.
Ian, your picks?
So my first pick which ended up being vetoed out for probably obvious reasons, but I'm still going to give him a quick shout out, was Theodred, because I'm a fanboy. But I will acknowledge that he doesn't probably qualify in this because he only does one thing, even though he does that one thing very well and very efficiently. It still is only one thing, and that is hit stuff. So what my first pick actually ended up being was another Boromir, but this time he's got a really big flag. The flag is awesome. Like, the fact that it makes him fight 7 is really nice, because getting above that fight 6 threshold is rare for big heroes. And like we were talking about Aragorn earlier, Alisar, like, that's one of his detractions, right? He's only fight 6. The other thing is, it's not just a 6-inch banner. It also provides +1 fight. And the +1 fight is really big in an army that has a lot of fight 4 troops, because then you're hitting fight 5, and that's a pretty good threshold to be at. Also, you know, 6 might is awesome. So he does it all.
Next pick, Ian.
So
your actual pick this time, not the one we're strong armed into.
So this is a model I've been playing with a lot more recently. And I do remember he caused quite a bit of a fuss when he first came out. We're going to go back and we're going to pick a good old Dane Ironfoot on the boar. Just like, picture a big dwarf lord. Now he's mounted. It's great. You can do the damage, obviously, with the strength 5 two-handed weapon is fantastic. So he can hurl combat very effectively. He can do damage to other heroes. He's good at dueling other heroes with that. He also is fearless, which is just handy to have in a hero. And he provides, I think it's a 12-inch bubble that makes all the other Iron Hills fearless around. So he buffs the troops around him, which is very handy in a lot of situations. And the army bonus is pretty damn good on him. A 4+ master of battle onto a hero like that is great. He also has heroic march if you just need to have a random hero if you need a march in there. Considering his points cost, he's kind of the reason Durin looks like a very bad choice. It's because this guy exists. So my last pick, I'm going with something a little different here. I chose Galadriel from Lothlorien because she is, depending on how you build Thranduil, she is the cheapest hero of legend that is an elf at 130 points. And she can bring in fight 6 troops, which is great. She can ally with any good army because that's just how elves work. And she has the spells that you really, really want. So Blinding Light is very important in a lot of metas right now. Mobilize is always handy, and Command is always great. She's also less susceptible to ring wraiths. You know, like, she doesn't have to worry about her staff being broken, so she can always keep her will coming in. If she's in a pure list, she has resistance to magic, which is very handy. And she kind of sets up a lot of other lists if you're doing filthy alliance combos, like some of us here are wont to do. So she's kind of like the reason that Gwaihir can work in a lot of other lists, because you take Gwaihir and then you ally her in, and then you do that combo where you can command a hero out and just dip him in the face. And then she also is a good leader because she has the rerollable fate and heroic defense. So, yeah, just durable overall.
My first pick was Thorin, King Under the Mountain from Erebor Reclaimed. When I think best heroes, I think heroes that have a lot of versatility and can be plugged into many lists. And Thorin at 125 points on a goat, he's definitely that hero. Mostly people see his free hero combat as like the most value that he brings to a list. And I think that's why so many people take him. He's almost like a budget Elendil, where you don't have to pay like close to 200 points for a hero combat utility that he can bring to any list. He does have a little bit of trouble maybe killing sometimes, but you can usually find a way to mitigate that in a list.
He doesn't have that problem if you buy him Orcrist, which I know you're never going to do, but I'm still going to plug it in there. I think it's handy for him to have the Elven Blade because he might fight heroes, but I'm a shill for Orcrist, I guess.
If you buy Orcrist, then he's off this list.
Second pick, I went with Glorfindel. In my opinion, he's the best out of the Lords of the West. It's nice that he has that built in magic resistance, which I feel like a lot of heroes at his level struggle against a lot of the time. Being a hero of valor means that he can be allied into any good lists in the game pretty much. And I think he's one of the best leaders. He's extremely hard to kill. The extra movement that Aspeloth gives really helps him, and his threat range catches people off guard a lot of the time. And my third pick might be a little bit of a unexpected pick is Errol DeYoung. He deserves a spot on here because he's one of the best value for like a sheer stat line. Like if you compare him with Aomer in the same army, when you kit out Aomer, he's about 20 points, 25 points more than Errol DeYoung. And Errol DeYoung still debatably has better stats. You know, at 115 points, you get him on an armored horse, you get him with a shield and throwing spears. And we just talked about 12 move heroes. He also has a movement of 12 with potential to get might back. So you kind of get everything in one package. And he also gives Sons of Earl around him plus one base attack. You know, huge buff to this elite troop that you usually would take in this army. So I think he does a lot, even though the list is kind of limited. Insane value for what you pay.
Any other honorable mentions or no?
Oh, yeah. Anything that we might have missed on this that you want to bring up?
So I almost put Bard on here, Bard the Bowman, just because he almost can do everything. You know, he buffs the troops. He has really good shooting. And with his daughters, he brings great utility to the list. I just think that you wouldn't really ally him in for those things. He's usually like the centerpiece of a Lake Town army and also the defense five. But he was really close. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he fits in the conversation at least. I think he deserves an honorable mention. I'm glad he's not in the top 16, but if you had a really strong argument, I could see him getting there.
Yeah, I think mostly it's because like to make him like the best version, you have to have his add-ons basically. Like you need Alfred, you need the kids, and then it's just the points add up.
Yeah. He's got enough negatives, and like Charles was saying, he's not as defensible, right? Like, even with the bonuses, he still only fights six, and you have to keep him close to the daughters. So there's just enough negatives that it doesn't work. And then, like I said earlier, he has that great banner buff, which is awesome, but the fight value buff doesn't do as much for you because most armies in the game have at least some amount of fight for it that's just going to make it redundant.
I'll probably also add in Thranduil. He's a nice hero where you can Swiss Army knife and build them in a few different ways, and they're all pretty competitive, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other one that I would add in is Saruman, the White.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I think he was on the community list as well.
All around, just very good at casting spells. Probably slightly stronger in evil because he can take Wormtongue, but I think in good, he's still got a really solid argument for being around.
All right, so on to round one, we'll have the number one seed from the community taking on number 16. So basically the last pick, one of Ian's, Galadriel versus Imrahil. This one shouldn't be too hard, right, guys?
I can see you hovering over Imrahil there.
I'm just going to say the arguments that we just made about Bard, Imrahil is very similar, but he doesn't have those weaknesses.
Yeah.
Basically, like, yeah, he pseudo gives a plus one fight value bubble, and it's a little smaller. But it takes troops from fight four to fight five, which, as we talked about in Boromir, is great. And having a banner reroll on an army that is base fight four is just better. Like, it's a higher fight value army anyway. He does damage better because of the lance, and he's more defensible because he's D7. You know, Galadriel is great, and you should all vote for Galadriel.
So 4-0.
Boo. We're not even going to debate this anymore.
I mean, I love playing with Galadriel, but I think just like an all around flexibility, like Galadriel, like she's great, but she's kind of a support piece in a way, right? Even as a hero of legend, you need another weapon with her. Whereas like Imrahil, you know, you can play him by himself at low points and just pure fiefdoms. That's great. And then you can also play him in high points with allies. So, and then just like less weaknesses, like as much as I love Galadriel, the common weakness that is brought up is Contest of Champions, right?
Can people comment below if they've ever actually had Galadriel in a Contest of Champions game in a tournament? I'm curious. We always talk about it, but I don't know how often it actually happens.
Okay, so we're okay with this score? Or Ian, you want to do a
3-1? 3-1.
All right.
Because I'm stubborn.
Honestly. All right. Oh, this is savage. Two of my picks. That's kind of rigged. I lose one off right off the bat.
You made the bracket.
So Boromir versus Braga. I think this is pretty tough because they kind of do different things. Boromir is just like the big beat stick that you kind of throw in. Definitely very flexible. Braga is like, just to me, like we talked about, one of the best support pieces. So this is actually tough for me. It's like choosing between two of my children. What do you guys think?
I think Boromir has the upper hand where he can be in more lists and he has a better alliance matrix. Braga has the advantage of being more obscure. Like, he doesn't even have an official model. Most games I find in a tournament, I have to explain to my opponent what Braga does. And so, like Jacob has mentioned in a previous episode, where like you can catch your opponent by surprise when they don't really know what your models do. And I think that's what Braga does for you. And he's just an auto include in his army. So this is a very close one for me, but I might have to go Boromir slightly just because of, like I said at the beginning, the alliance matrix. He can be in more lists.
I think so. Braga is definitely a support hero with the way he works. I think you could kind of make the argument that this version of Boromir is like a little bit of a support hero in the fact that he gives you a heroic march, so people like to slot that into their lists a lot. And six might. So just adding in that much might to any list is a huge benefit. It just makes like calling heroic actions much easier. You're always going to have like might where you need it. On top of the fact that he has a very good selection of heroic actions that he can make use of. And then the thing with Braga is like you are forced into a certain build if you're going to do that. Like if you're taking Braga, you're taking the master, you're doing like a pure Army of Lake Town or Army of Lake Town allied with something. Whereas Boromir from Fellowship, you can just go, yep, you're in this list now. If you like playing filthy yellow lists like some of us do.
I was going to say, it's interesting because in Australia, like the how allyable someone isn't even like a consideration because no one's playing these filthy, filthy yellow alliances. My point on these two is you said they're quite different, but I actually am, I think Ian touched on this. I think they go in the same category for me as a might battery. Like, I think you drop Boromir into your army because he has six might. You bring Braga because he has three might, but with a 4+ rerollable. So it's like, you know, on average, you're probably getting five. On average, you get five might per game, and he's only 50 points. It's a tough choice. I'm actually surprisingly leaning towards Braga on this one, just for the fact that it's 50 points and, you know, between four and six might a game.
So, Richard, if you pick Braga, what do we do in the event of a tie?
I vote that we give Jacob the tiebreaker as the guest.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll start abusing this power. Watch out.
And another point for Braga is that he doesn't have a model. So you can model him like lying on the ground or something, you know, avoid some shooting attacks. Yeah, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that comment. But yeah, this is close. But I think I might vote for Boromir myself because I guess it just comes down to I played with Boromir quite a lot and in different types of armies. And I just haven't had that same experience with Braga yet. So I guess, Jacob, you're voting for Braga here.
I'll give it to Braga, but it's 3-1 in favor of Boromir.
Okay.
This is okay. Tough. This is tough. I want all of them to do well.
Yeah, that means we picked well. So the next one, we have Elendil from the community and Charles's Earl the Young pick. I think as much as Charles made a great argument for Earl being in the top 16, I played Elendil a bunch. I haven't played Earl myself, but I played against Earl. I think Elendil is just too good with the fight 7 and free heroics. And also, same thing as Glorfindel, right? Has the magic resistant, or even better, fortify. So
That's true, but he's like, what, 60 points more?
He's 200 points if you fully kit him out.
Yeah, that's 85 points more than Earl.
But he also brings, like, soft things to the game, right? He's not just a hitter. So he has a 12-inch standfast, which is, that's really nice to have. And then he also, like, I mean, it's in the Numenor profile, but he triggers it, so he gives them magic resistance. So Earl doesn't really have anything like that besides the might regeneration, which isn't as... You might be able to do more things with that as opposed to Free Hero Combats, but the Free Hero Combats are going to be more consistent.
He buffs the Sons of Earl.
Oh, yeah, he does. Like, yeah, that's true.
One other argument against Earl is that you need Theoden to trigger the plus one fight on the charge for Royal Guard and regular Rohan Riders. So yes, Earl gives a massive boost to the Sons of Earl and they become like insane, but you're not getting the fight five on the charge.
I don't know if anybody's actually mentioned this yet, but Elendil can do a lot of damage, just like the strength five two-handing, and he's fight seven, and he gets Free Hero Combats.
Yes.
It's just, he threatens so many other heroes. If there's any hero within charge range of him, they have to do something. They have to either, they force your opponent to body block them, or they have to spend might to strike up or do heroic defense just to avoid Elendil. And then he's happy also just munching troops. So he's very aggressive, but he's very good at what he does.
Yeah, he's got one of the highest DPSs, but also has the soft boosts and is still very survivable. Like, he is a monster. I'm definitely voting for Elendil here.
Yeah, I think Elendil has it here. I guess the argument I was just trying to make was that it might be closer than people think. But yeah, it's hard to beat that beast of a hero.
I mean, 85 points is a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it just comes down to the weaknesses that Earl has with Fight 5 and also the probably even bigger list building restrictions than Elendil and Numenor. Okay, so we have our first sweep, 4-0 for Elendil. Wow, good job, community. Okay, the next one. Jacob's Biffer, Champion of Erebor versus Charles's Glorfindel.
All right. These are very different heroes.
Yeah. I want to hear what Jacob has to say because I would never have thought of picking Biffer.
Oh, yeah.
Prostolt!
A fine.
I'll talk about Biffer first. Obviously, I already covered him. But, man, 65 points for a chance to get a free heroic move every single turn is so good. And I think that's further compounded by the fact that he's in Erebor Reclaimed, which is such a high defense army that typically it plays a lot of turns because it takes so long to die. Where, like, you know, Gambling gets a free heroic, free point of might, so you can call a heroic move every turn. But generally, like, Riders of Theoden or just Rohan is a very short amount of turns to play because it goes in and it smashes stuff. And now to Rose Glorfindel. I'm not a Glorfindel fan because it's just like 3-5-4 attacks. On the charge, it's 4-5-4 attacks. You need sixes to wound a lot of the time. Like, I've just seen him botch so many times that I'm never scared when he's on the table.
Okay, so are you saying that you're voting for Biffer here? Objective?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think my best argument against Biffer is what you said in your first sentence, is that there's a chance he can get free heroics.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
And I haven't seen him played a lot, but I have seen him played before. And I think Charles and I have played him in a doubles event a while ago. And I think in that doubles event, from memory, we played three games, and I don't think we got it off once.
Whoa. Hey, don't
so,
criticize people for having bad pilots.
That's dice. You know, that's dice. But it's the fact that it's not going to happen every game. You know, it's still a dice game. Glorfindel's not going to be doing crazy well every game, but I think he's going to be a lot more consistent.
Yeah. Sorry, Jacob. I think Biffer is the more fun pick. So if we're going by Australian meta, which is about all about fun, then of course Biffer gets the vote here. But there I think if you're going for like the boring, consistent pick, I think I probably have to go with Glorfindel here.
No, nice try, but not quite.
Fair call.
Okay, so the next one we have Helm Hammerhand versus Dane Ironfoot. So Helm is from Community and Dane is from Eton.
Dane has a bigger hammer.
he actually has a hammer.
Both are textbook beat sticks. Strength 5 hits things very hard.
They're like the same points value too. Oh, Helm might be 165.
on foot, right? I think he might be 175 on
horse. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, so more expensive. I think we covered why Helm might not be the strongest pick. I mean, I think he's fine being in the top 16, but I think Dane definitely outclasses him.
Yeah, totally agree.
The two free might is cool in the Legion, but the problem is just that's all it is. I mean, he has a fight value buff for his troops, which is nice, but it's not enough when all you have is Helm.
And, like, the free heroic combat's great, but if you're only fight five, you probably have to strike, which means you can't use the free heroic combat every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you come up against elves, it's just, like, a nightmare, like, every turn trying to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this one I think might be really tough. Mm. So it's Jacob's King's Champion versus my Guajira pick.
This is a tough, again, very different units.
Mm-hmm. No bias at all, but I'm going to vote for myself.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
That's my argument.
Okay. Opening salvo against Guajir. Only two attacks. So he can get, like, if he gets stuck, he can be in trouble. Like, he can just get stuck behind the line and not be able to do things if he gets charged. And additionally, it's not just, like, just Guajir is good, but to get the best value out of him, you need to ally in or have a magic caster with command in there, or at least, like, a sentinel or something to really exploit him. And even then, yeah, I know the monstrous charge is great, but he's not as good as some other heroes in that kind of bracket where they can one-shot things. Like, 6 strength, 6 attacks is good. Is it going to kill a defense 7 hero in one turn? Probably not if they have 3 wounds.
So I think King's Champion might have the upper hand in terms of sheer value, like what you get for the points. But I don't see people allying King's Champions into other lists to get the 2 banners, regardless of how good the value is. I think Guajir plugs a lot of weaknesses in almost any good list if you want to just throw him in. And also, to defend the 2 attack base, you have fly and do move 12 inches, so you most of the time can determine when and where to fight, and you kind of position yourself in a place where you can afford to lose a fight and have 2 attacks for a turn or 2. So my vote would go for Guajir out of these 2, just because of the versatility and allying. I think Guajir has that against the King's Champion.
So in that regard, I think it's just because the champion's fortitude. If he was Hero Valor, I think you'd see him in a lot more places.
And with Guajir, like, being able to ally, Guajir kind of has to be an ally unless you're playing pure Eagles, which obviously has huge deficiencies. So it's like, he just is an ally piece. He doesn't have a pure list that really has a strong play style as a pure list. My big thing with the King's Champion is he is good in every single game. Like, every single game, you will get more than 140 points out of value out of him because he has the 2 banners and the banners that have the 2 fate. Like, it's so reliable, especially in the dwarf list where, you definitely need banner coverage on everything because you have no spears.
Yeah.
I'm still sticking with King's Champ.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think it's really close. I think the value it provides is just so good. And I think Khazad-dûm without it is like, it would probably be close to like a meme list. So like, it's almost carried by the King's Champion. I guess like my only thing is I like sneaky tricks in like an army. And then it's like, you know, if you're playing like Seize the Prize, Retrieval, Reconnoiter, and you face up against a Guajir, instantly you're probably like pretty sick to your stomach right away. And King's Champion definitely probably has more consistency, but like, I guess when you come up against it, you don't really get that like feeling of like, oh shoot, I'm up against this model. Like, you still feel like you have a fighting chance most of the time. But I think this will come down to Ian, because Jacob has the tiebreaker. So
what I was just going to say is that I'm going to put my vote to wherever it forces the tie-breaking situation, because I am genuinely torn here.
Jacob's vote counts as 1.5.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, representing the 1.5 Australians out there.
Oh man, like I know I argued against Gwihir at the start, but like he's still really good. But I think
it is still two attacks. Yeah, that's the big thing. If he was three attacks, I think there's not a question. But the two attacks really.
But okay. He also has fight eight, right? So
it's okay. The noobs in our monsters episode forced them into a valor tier. So I guess can't be that good.
Yeah, and the noobs know everything. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, when I was initially looking at the matchup, that's what I was thinking, so I'm just going to stick with it. But it's a rough one.
Let me do 2.5, we'll give.
I was getting nervous that none of my picks were going to make it through round one, so I can chill from here.
Okay, so the next one we have Bjorn and Boromir of the White Tower. Oh, this one's tough.
Man, this one is tough.
Yeah. I think for me, maybe because I don't know, I'm not as big on bears as maybe a lot of people. I think Bjorn, it's obvious that he's only good in the Legion, right? He was a meme for so long. And even in the Legion, I know a lot of people would say it's like a top tier Legion. But personally, for me, it's just one tier below because I do think it has its weaknesses. And obviously he has his downsides, like the whatever the go crazy and force to charge rule is. Still very good, but I think Boromir is just a solid all around, like we talked about before.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Like the fact that Bjorn has to charge, and especially because in the Bjornings it's very low model count, so sometimes with those have to charge models, you can kind of trap them with your own guys and they can't charge, and then you can go somewhere else. But with the low model count, you can't really do that as much, and you can really like. If you play your cards right and you have one cavalry model go around the flank and sit just within 8 inches of him, and then Bjorn just runs in the wrong direction, that can be massive. If Bjorn, you know, is then two turns just like spent chasing some random cav guy, because of that, I think that knocks down Bjorn quite a bit for me. And look, Boromir of White Tower, he's Boromir of the White Tower. Like that banner is amazing. 6 might is amazing. Fight 7 is amazing. Like he just ticks all the boxes, whereas Bjorn only ticks some of the boxes.
Personally, I think it would have been a closer match if the community had picked Grimbjorn, because outside of the Legion, he's a little more viable being able to lead warriors. But I have to agree with you guys. Boromir is just overall just better.
I guess it kind of comes down to the fact that like Bjorn needs to be charging and killing stuff to like get value. Whereas Boromir, like we said, like it is viable to run him on foot and just have him stand there with his 6 might in the big flag and just go, oh. And that still works. You're still going to get like pretty good value out of that. If he is like heroic combating and getting kills, that's just a bonus on top of it. So yeah, I think Boromir's got it.
All right. Ian, aren't you glad we forced you to take Boromir, Captain the White Tower?
Well, I am because Galadriel didn't make it through.
Okay. So the last first round matchup here, we have Jacob's Rumil versus Charles is King Thorin.
Yeah. let me try to explain that Rumil is better than King Thorin, but that might be tough. Rumil is fantastic against... Look, he's got such great odds of winning the fight, which is good most of the time, especially against things that don't have might. And he is relatively cheap, but then again, Thorin is also very cheap, like... I think there's, 30 points between them? And for 30 points, you just get, like, the biggest load of steroids and a goat that can knock people down. So I'd like to say Rumil, but I think it's pretty hard to justify above King Thorin.
Yeah, no, agree everything here. I mean, if the man's not picking his own pick, right?
I think if Rumil was matched up against, actually, everybody else here is pretty good. Maybe. Maybe Errol? Rumil's great, but he's like... Yeah, he's just a cool support piece.
And like he's really good in some situations. Like if you come up against a Balrog, he is like, sure, he is amazing. The Balrog will never win a fight. But it's not every game that matters. And there's sometimes that you charge in and you just roll two sixes and he's like, cool, reroll one of them. And you're like,
yeah,
I did. I still have another one. And now you're dead.
Yeah. It's hard to beat. The free heroic combats at like a fight six plus character is really hard to beat. It is very good value.
All right. So for round two and the semifinals, I think we've talked these heroes to death. So let's cut to the chase. Just give your vote. See which hero you prefer. I mean, at this point, I think all the heroes are amazing.
Yeah.
Jacob, what do you think?
I'll give my vote on this one for Imrahil. Like, he just changes the game, whereas like Boromir adds a lot, but you know, it's not as game changing as Imrahil.
All right, to spice it up, I'm going to go Boromir here because he's just my favorite.
They're both 10s, but I know that's not an answer. So I'm going to go Boromir.
Whoa, okay.
Could it be an upset?
No, I was leading to Imrahil, man. So that 12-inch banner effect is really good.
Yes, but Boromir can be one-dropped, you know? Imrahil, you're never going to just drop Imrahil alone into a list.
You're going to drop Imrahil and 18 of his buddies that he's going to be giving a banner effect to.
There isn't a wrong answer.
I do really like Fellowship Boromir. When I first looked at this, I was thinking Imrahil, so I'm going to vote for Imrahil.
Right. And you got the Australian vote as well, so it's going to be 3-2.
Well, I feel bad about exploiting my tiebreak, but look, I put my money behind Imrahil here.
All right. Ooh, interesting matchup here. We got the
Fortify Spirit
hero, mounted heroes.
Is this a fair matchup? Like, I feel like Elendil is just kind of like the same as Glorfindel, but for 30 extra points, you get free hero combats and more damage output. That's a pretty good deal.
No Lord of the West.
Good.
That's true.
But your damage potential is, what, like 10 times higher?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's also a lot harder to kill. You have free fate and you have expert rider, so it's harder to dismount him. And you can't forget the 12-inch move.
The damage output, I guess, is mitigated because, like, he does have Lord of the West. I mean, that's one reroll, but you're going to see him with Círdan a lot. I mean, well, you're going to see either of these guys with Círdan a lot. But, you know, there are ways around it for Glorfindel to improve his damage. So maybe that's not a fair thing to compare there.
So if you have Círdan with Glorfindel, you know, all of a sudden, what, Círdan's, how many points is he, 80?
He's 80.
So you're all of a sudden like 45 points more than Elendil. Obviously, Círdan provides a lot more to the list as well. But like, man, Elendil just hits so hard, has the free heroic combat. So it's like, even if it's Elendil versus Glorfindel with Enchanted Blades, Elendil's still putting out more damage.
I don't mind voting first. My vote's going to go Glorfindel. I just think Rivendell is a more attractive sort of alliance in general that you want to ally in for the Knights and the Warriors. Slightly better than Warriors of Numenor, at least. And also, Elendil, being a hero of legend, has its weaknesses. A lot of the time, he's a leader, and he's going to get targeted. So you're trying to throw him in, use him to do damage, but then you also want to protect him at the same time. Less of a case with Glorfindel if you don't want him to be the leader. So my vote goes to Glorfindel.
You may have persuaded me there with the allies thing, Charles.
Oh, man. No, the allies don't matter. You don't need allies with Elendil.
I mean, Elendil is fantastic, like you said, and like I do like the Numenor faction, but it is very limited. Even when you're doing a Last Alliance list, it is limited, the ways you can build it. There's a reason you see Glorfindel allied into so many lists in so many different ways. I think I'm going to go Glorf.
Oh, man. So, Richard.
So this is what power feels like. I gotta go with Elendil here, just because the raw power of like the offense and defense. He's like a one man team. Like I think, like, you can say Glorfindel's, like, more balanced or whatever, but, like, Elendil's just one of those heroes that, probably one of the only heroes in the game that I've taken on, like, full warbands apart even more in a single game, and he does it with ease. So, yeah, I think I gotta go with Elendil here. It is close, though.
Man, I'm glad I have this tiebreaker power. I feel too good.
My vote counts as two.
I think it's going to come down to it every single round now.
I mean, ultimately, like, any of these heroes could come out on top. Maybe not Rumil, but if any of them came out on top, you'd be like, yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay, so we have Dane Ironfoot versus the King's Champion. Some dwarf on dwarf action.
I'm going to let someone else start here.
I vote for Dane.
I see all the arguments for King's Champion. He's great. Dane, I'm not only taking in consideration his profile, but also the Battle of the Five Armies, Triple Green Alliance. I just think that he adds so much to that. To that alliance, and I have to pick Dane.
So the reason I love the King's Champion so much is because he's, like, you know, you get those two banners for so cheap, so it's like the soft bonuses across the army. But the problem is Dane also has all those soft bonuses across the army. He just hits really, really hard as well. I think that Dane just has to edge out the champion here, unfortunately. It's also 3 might and Master Battle 4+ versus just the 2 might on the King's Champion. Yeah, it just goes to Dane for me.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's a great matchup. Probably two of the best value dwarf profiles in the game. All right. Boromir, Captain of the White Tower versus King Thorin. This one's interesting. I personally would probably play King Thorin more because it's just my type of, like, hero. I know Boromir is just like a value machine, so I think King Thorin's more exciting to play, but if we're being objective, I probably vote for Boromir here.
It's a little bit of a tough comparison because, again, Boromir is like 100 more points than Thorin. Having played both in tournaments, I would say that I've had more frustrating games with Thorin where he just loses his fight against one warrior and then loses the goat. You know, that's happened more than once. Boromir, like Ian mentioned before, he can sit behind the lines and still get his value as long as he's not paralyzed or something like that. You know, you're getting those rerolls all game. He's more consistent, but he's so much more expensive, so you have to build around him. But I got to go with consistency. I think Boromir, because you're going to for sure get what you pay for in most games.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there as well, Charles. And, like, with the King Thorin of just the strength 4 with no lance or anything, like, botching the to wound roll is a serious possibility. And Boromir, no matter what happens, he's always getting his value.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was going to say. It just comes down to the strength 4. It's good, but it can falter, especially if you hit a D7 army.
Semifinals, Imrahil versus Elendil. Both community picks. To be fair, they got a pick first, so.
They did, yeah.
This is tough.
I don't want to jump in first here. Yeah, you go, Charles. If you're willing to go first, you go.
So we have, like, a top, like, support hero that can also fight against one of the best combat heroes in the game, right? They're very different heroes, so that's what makes picking this so hard. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Imrahil. You know, go watch our Last Lines versus Black Gate battle report. There are situations where Elendil rolls terribly and you wish that you had picked another hero. And I know that doesn't happen a lot because he's so good and consistent most of the time, but you will get those games here and there. Imrahil, in the same way as Boromir of the White Tower, he provides so many buffs to your army that as long as you don't just throw him in and get him killed first turn, he's going to do a lot for your army. It's a close one, but I think Imrahil.
Yeah, I agree. I hate it because Elendil's my boy, and I don't even have a mounted Imrahil, but yeah, he's probably better.
Man, I was going to say Elendil just because, like, I'm imagining if if my opponent puts down Imrahil, I'm like, okay, yeah, like, it's I know what Imrahil is going to do this game. Whereas if someone puts down Elendil, I'm like, oh shit, like, what's going to happen here? Like, is he just going to totally destroy me? I'm just more afraid of Elendil, but I don't know if that's like an irrational fear or if that's the right way to go. I think I still got to give it to Elendil because he can just take stuff off the table so quickly. Like, he can take off a D7 hero. He doesn't care. He'll take him off in one turn.
Elendil does have that X factor, like you're saying. He gets put down on the table and you go, oh shit, how do I stop that? Yeah. I still think I like him real more, though.
Yeah.
But it comes down to, like, value. Like, if you... Elendil is 200 points. The supporting pieces you're getting with him, you're forced into a certain way to build. Whereas with Imrahil, you can get other, like, better supporting pieces, I think. And there's other ways you can build with Imrahil because he is that much deeper. And he is really good value considering, like, his points value.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think we've talked about, like, skewed list versus, like, well-balanced list. And I think, like, these two kind of represent each. Like, Elendil, you would build more of a skewed list. Whereas, like, Imrahil is just, like, model of consistency.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess 3-1 then, but a close 3-1?
Yeah.
Well, Jacob is 2 votes, so 3-2.
Okay. Okay, Dane versus Boromir, Captain of the White Tower.
No matter what happens, I'm taking this as a victory.
Ian versus Ian.
Oh, God, I don't even know, man. You know what? I'm going to vote for Dane. I don't know if that's the right choice, but I'm doing that because that's the one that I actually chose.
Okay, Dane has so many good historical alliances that you can pretty much consider the army bonus as built in into his profile. Because most of the time you see him with Army of Thror, or Survivors of Lake Town, or Thranduil's Halls, right? I personally really value Heroic March, and I think that having that on such a big hero is great at lower points, because if you were to take Boromir at lower points, you're going to have to try to have like a Madril or something in there for the march, while Dane, you don't have to worry about that at like really low points. You're always going to have access to it. So I think I'm going to vote Dane.
I'm going to stick with Boromir here. Just to bring up some more conflict, I actually personally don't rate March that much. And I hear you guys talk about it on the podcast all the time, and I always disagree. That's totally beside the point, though. Man, just the 6-inch banner with taking guys from 5-4 to 5-5 is just so powerful. And the 6 might is so reliable that, I mean, I guess, obviously, Dane isn't as... It's not as extreme a difference as the last one, but I do see like parallels between Elendil and Imrahil and Dane and Boromir, although Dane and Boromir are a bit close together. I've got to give it to Boromir here. Like, you know, 6-inch banner plus 1 fight, that is huge. But like, again, I don't think this is a knock against Dane, but Boromir's list has a lot of bodyguard in it already. So he doesn't need that like 12-inch courage bonus that Dane has, but I don't think that's really a big consideration because that's more about the broader list than actually the character themselves.
I mean, I guess 2 smaller things that I don't think we've mentioned before. Boromir has that cool horn effect. That's fun. But Dane also has the causing terror when he charges and the headbutting rule.
Yeah.
Those are neat.
Basically the same matchup as before, like you were saying, Jacob. It's quite funny. Dane has the X factor that makes you like crap your pants when you see him. But then like Boromir is the consistent one, to be honest here. So... Yeah, I think I might have to vote for Boromir.
That makes sense. I've had a few games recently where I've been playing with Dane, and like when he stalls out, the army kind of falters. So, makes sense.
So I think this is quite fitting. We'll have 2 very similar heroes in the championship match and 2 very similar heroes in the bronze place match as well. Bronze and silver.
Super interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do the bronze match first. So 2 of probably the scariest heroes that beat sticks in the game, Elendil versus Dane. Who do you guys like better?
Both strength 5 plus 1 to wound.
I played with both extensively, and I think as much as I like Dane, maybe it's because the potential to be shut down by magic by a slight bit. I just really like Ellendale's Fight 7, like the ability to not only crush troops, but like heroes are always in danger of being assassinated because you just jump on them if they don't heroic strike up. So like, I don't think Dane has quite the level of aggression there.
I hear you about that, about the magic resistance, but I think Dane is more resilient against like a cheeky, like pot shot arrow, you know. Elendil can be dismounted from one shot. Dane has the two wounds and also the three fate, so you're able to keep your leader VPs a little easier. It's hard to rate the free hero combats because Elendil's also about 40 points more. I just like that Dane stands a chance against lucky shooting. So I think I'm going to give the edge to Dane.
Before the other guys go, I don't know if we've brought this up, but the downside to Dane too, he can also, similar to Bjorn, like have a crazy rule after he kills someone. So I do find at the end of games, like if you're trying to like bounce off a hero combat into objective, like you might have some trouble doing so.
Oh man, I want to go for Dane, but I did just make a point about him stalling out. And that can happen from bad dice, but it can also happen from getting magic down. The fortify spirit is really good. Yeah, and the fight 7 with the combats is pretty undeniable. I think I have to go for Elendil, but it's really close. Dane is still a monster.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Ian. I don't need to abuse my tiebreaker power this time. I think I go for Elendil because he just puts out, and I'm like a broken record. I've said this a million times. He just puts out so much damage. Obviously, Dane does as well, but just being harder to shut down. Yes, his horse can die, which sort of sucks, but like even despite that, it's just so much power.
Correction, it's 4-1. Because of Jacob's extra vote.
Yes.
He said he doesn't want to use that extra vote. It's like someone no. Doesn't even go to the voting booth because he's like, I got this.
Yeah. I only use it when I need it, you know?
Finals.
So we basically have the same hero here.
Prince Imrahil or Boromir, Captain of the White Tower?
I'm happy to start on this one. Stat line, very similar. Prince Imrahil has a 12-inch banner, but only a 3-inch plus one fight. Whereas Boromir is a 6-inch banner, but a 6-inch plus one to fight. Very similar, but Boromir is more expensive, but has the 3 extra points of might. A 12-inch banner sometimes is excessive. Like, a lot of the time that's super helpful, but, you know, 6 inches is generally covers, like, 95% of the fights, whereas the 12 inches is really just getting those far out there things. So I'm going Boromir.
Boromir will cover most of your line. Imrahil is going to cover almost the whole board.
Yeah.
And that's, I think he has the better effect. That being said, Boromir's banner is actually a banner. And that matters in 3 out of the 18 scenarios. So, I don't know. But he's also, what? If you put him on the horse with everything, like he's also 55 points more. So Imrahil is really good value for that effect, even though it isn't actually a banner.
Come on, Ian. You give your analysis and then you mute yourself.
Because I'm thinking...
I'll go if Ian doesn't want to do it. They're pretty much... at the same level for me, profile-wise, I think the edge comes down to which army is more my style. I think I prefer what's in Minas Tirith more. The heroes, the warriors, I think the warriors are slightly more competitive compared to what's available in the fiefdoms. I mean, the fiefdoms warriors are great too, but I think the Guard of the Fountain Court buffed his Fight 5, it's... hard to compare against that with anything in the fiefdoms list. And Boromir just being able to give you that super troop might tip it over the edge for me.
Charles, you just ruined the suspense. Now we can't win.
Well, Jacob can choose not to use his powers.
That's true. I should have gone last here.
I play both of these armies, and I play fiefdoms a lot more, and I enjoy fiefdoms a lot more, so I'm going to give it to Imrahil. I'm doing it. I'm committing.
Yourself, man.
I know. It wasn't my actual pick.
I think Boromir is the bigger threat. The actual banner, I think, is actually really big, because when you choose Imrahil, you got to start thinking about, you know, taking a regular banner, and that's like additional cost where, you know, you might sometimes even feel like it's repetitive, because you're like, oh, Imrahil already has like the 12-inch reroll. So you're almost forced to, if you want those VPs, to take something that is redundant. Again, they're both 10 out of 10. It's crazy that one that we almost missed, Boromir, Captain of the White Tower, and we forced the Inn to take and ended up winning this.
Yeah.
Well, this has been our top good heroes bracket. Thanks to Jacob for coming on to the podcast to help us determine who is the winner. Make sure to go and check out his channel, Conquest Creations, and all the exciting videos they have coming up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Viewers, let us know who we missed out in the top 16 top good heroes, and if you agree with our picks and what you think of the winner. Thank you all for watching. Look forward to the next episode of Into the West.